From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Gifts of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, there are those who deny the miracles of the Bible. Such atheistic people are simply saying that God has no right to intervene in the affairs of men. Then there are groups who insist that all of the miraculous gifts of the New Testament are available to the church today. Yet those who claim those miraculous powers fail to recognize that, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, miracles were always related to God's revelation of redemption. Now that the canon of Scripture is closed, there is no need for such supernatural demonstrations, for God is not now revealing something new. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes time to answer a very vital question. Can you be sure you're saved? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Is it possible to be sure you're saved? The simple answer, biblically, undoubtedly. Let's not make doubt a spiritual virtue. The Bible record is very plain in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And then in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. And he goes on to give us the record of the gospel that ends up saying, he that hath the Son hath life. Now, put it all together. If you have Christ, you have life. If you have life in Christ, you have the witness in yourself. Now, what does that mean? Well, in Romans 8, Paul gives us an insight into it, where he speaks of the spirit of adoption. And this spirit of adoption, first of all, within us is a spirit of prayer whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But he also bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, how does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit? First of all, his witness is always going to be a biblical witness. Jesus, throughout the letters to the churches in Revelation, says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And it's what is written. Again, in 1 John chapter 5, we are told these are written that you might know that you have eternal life. So, the Spirit bears witness by applying his word to the heart. Assurance of salvation is possible, but we have got to make sure we do not sink to presumption. Assurance of salvation is a spiritual grace. It is, should I say, a perfection in or a maturity in faith. A soul believes the gospel. He takes Christ at his word. Now, there is a level of assurance that can thereby be gained. Put it quite simply, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's a mystery I cannot begin to understand. There's a people whom God gave to his Son. And Jesus said, they will come to me. But now here's something I can understand. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Under no circumstances will I cast out the one who's coming to me. Now, does Jesus Christ lie, or does he not? Well, if he tells the truth and I come to him, can he cast me out? Is it possible that he could fail to do what he intends to do? Is there any lack of power? Well, no, he's the omnipotent Christ. So if there's no lack of power, and we can take him at his word, if he says something, then we can take that word to the bank, because it's absolutely certain. God cannot lie. Now, that's one level of assurance. There is a deeper level where, as we get our eyes on Christ, the Spirit ministers Christ to the heart, and he increases that confidence to a full assurance of faith. But let me caution you, that comes through faith in Christ. Most people who suffer from lack of assurance are wondering, did I pray the right prayer? Did I repent enough? Was I sincere enough? And you'll see it's all coming back to me. Have I done this? Have I done that? Look, nothing I have ever done has been perfectly done. My faith is not a perfect faith. My repentance is not a perfect repentance. My love is not a perfect love. There's nothing that I do or you do that's perfect. Yet assurance demands perfection. Where will I find it? In Christ. And it's the more we turn to him and the more we get our understanding of heart fixed on who he is, what he's done, and especially what it means to be one with him by faith, what it means to be justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus and that is received by faith alone. Once you understand what it is to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to you as a believer in Christ, then you'll come to the deep and wonderful realization, God accepts me as being as righteous as Christ, with the same legal right to be in heaven as Christ, the same ground of acceptance as Christ, because Christ lived for me as well as died for me, and God has made over to my account as a believer in Christ all the righteousness and all the merit of Christ, so that, according to Romans 5, I am now constituted legally righteous in Christ, who is my righteousness. Now that's the object of our faith. Instead of always being inward looking, looking back, was my decision good enough? Look up, do I believe in Jesus? Have I hope anywhere else but in Jesus? Then let me look to him. Let me consider him, as Hebrews 12 says. Consider him. Let it sink down into our hearts all this glorious truth of our union with him and what it is to have his righteousness imputed. And you'll find that's what the Spirit ministers to the heart, to bring the witness of the assurance of salvation and eternal life in Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts, Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
When you go through the Old Testament scriptures, you'll find that there were periods of the explosion of miracles. And they were always in connection with some new stage in the continuing revelation of redemption. When we come into the New Testament scriptures, here is the great consummation of the revelation that was begun in the Old Testament. Here is God bringing the scriptures now to completion. And what does He do? As He sends out His apostles with His word, He backs them up with miracles and signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Indeed, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, there is a very interesting thing. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit. That's a very interesting phrase. There's a little learned discussion, as believe it or not, to the significance of the word of, what kind of a genitive it is. Big word at this time of the morning. But let's take it at the simplest possible thing level. The manifestation of the Spirit surely parallels and equals the gift of the Spirit. Any gift of the Spirit. That's the Spirit manifesting Himself. But look at that word manifest. It's a very important word in the New Testament. This form of the word only appears a couple of times, but there are other forms of the word. As a verb, for instance, it appears many times. And you'll find this, that every time this word or one of its related words has God as its subject, that is, that it's God that's doing the manifesting. Every time the thought is of a divine revelation, especially of redemption. The truth here, therefore, is just the same as I have been citing from the Old Testament and from Hebrews 2, that when God started to give a revelation of redemption, he backed it home with special miraculous powers. Now, let's follow carefully. First, God did give miraculous gifts to the New Testament church. Second, the reason for those gifts was to validate a divine revelation of redemption as it was being given. That's the important part. And third, therefore, this is inexorably true, therefore, those supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost do not operate in any period that is not a period in which God is giving a new revelation of redemption. Now watch it very carefully. It's very, very important. Miracle is never just a raw demonstration of power. That's what the Roman Catholic Church has always tried to make miracle. Just a pure demonstration of power. It will have the most ludicrous of miracles that it expects you to believe on the Pope's say-so. They really have no function except as a raw demonstration of power. But you look at the New Testament, the miracles are never like that. The miracles of the New Testament are never given apart from revelation. And indeed, 1 Corinthians 13 looks forward to the time when the miraculous will cease to happen. We read verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, that is, they shall cease. Where there are tongues, they shall cease. Where there is knowledge, and the knowledge here is the gift of supernatural knowledge, it shall vanish away. So there is certainly an impermanence to these spiritual and supernatural manifestations. In other words, miracle in the physical realm, I'm not talking about God regenerating a soul, God creating us anew in Christ. Those are spiritual acts of God. I'm talking about, as Paul is talking about here, manifestations in the physical realm. Miracle is not something that God will do today. Not that he cannot. God can do anything that he wills to do. But he wills that miracle is a part of the revelation of redemption. Now, of course, the charismatic movement claims all these supernatural gifts. For instance, they have the gift of prophecy, so they say. And to them, this is a direct revelation from God. It is an extra scriptural revelation from God. This is a very serious departure from the historic Christian faith. If you read the history of the Great Awakening here in the United States of America in the 18th century, you will find that that great revival was brought to a grinding halt by the wild fire of the forebears of the current charismatic delusion. Wild fire brought that revival to a halt. And this enthusiasm, as they called it in those days, fanaticism, as we would call it today, was certainly an instrument in the hand of the devil to bring to naught what was a superabundantly fruitful work of the Spirit. These are people who would say, God told me. Oh, God told me. The Lord spoke to me. Do we not hear that kind of thing constantly today? The Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, the Lord told me the other thing. And usually it's not a matter of the scripture being applied to the heart. Usually it's not a matter of a man getting down before God and laying his heart bare before the Lord until the Holy Spirit takes the Scripture and applies it with power to the soul. That's not what they mean. They say, the Lord told me. And they move on that impression with all the certainty of Scripture. It's just as if they find it written in the Bible. God told me. So that you then have the awful folly. And I have talked to people like this, where they go in that direction because God told them. As soon as they run into a little trouble, they go the very opposite direction because the Lord told them. Men and women, let me tell you, any claim to extra-biblical revelation is a very dangerous thing. I realize that there are events in church history that with our current knowledge it's very difficult to explain. I was thinking of this last night. I was pondering the famous occasion in Scottish church history when Sandy Peden announced to people the death of John Brown. Sounds supernatural. I have to say that I don't understand all the details. I have a feeling that Sandy Peden, in Scotland they have a word, they say he's fey. Well, I don't know if that would be true or not. I think that Sandy Peden had a real bit of Scottish gumption and insight. I don't know. He may even have been able to see the soldiers going in the direction and come to the conclusion. I don't know. But I will say this, that it is dangerous for any man to claim a divine revelation apart from the Scriptures of truth. Now, the charismatics certainly claim all these spiritual and supernatural gifts. It's a false claim. I want to make the statement today without any trimming or adding any trappings to take away from its force. The gifts of the charismatic movement today are not the gifts of the New Testament. The tongues they practice are not even remotely connected with the tongues of Scripture. The tongues of Scripture were the miraculous impartation of the ability to speak in a language that a man had never learned in order to communicate the great things of God to a waiting people. Acts 2 is very clear in that. Their gifts of prophecy and the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, the interpretation of tongues and the gifts of healings and the doing of miracles, these things are not remotely connected to what we have in the New Testament Scriptures. I mean, can you imagine anything more ludicrous? There are people who tell us they have the power, the same gift as these people, the same gifts. They have pure, supernatural, and miraculous power. But they have to spend hours begging for money that people would make their miracle happen. I mean, can you imagine anything more ludicrous? It's crazy. Oral Roberts tells us about the miracles that he has in his power to do. I mean, he's the one who for a lifetime conned his people into thinking that he could heal them. It was always God's will to heal them. When he had milked that cow dry, what does he do? He builds a hospital. Sort of strange. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul building a hospital? Could you? Now, I'm not saying anything against building a hospital. I think it's a good thing for the Church of Jesus Christ to be able to minister in every area and preach Christ. But I'm simply saying that if I have the purely miraculous power to say to this man, rise from the dead, I don't need Mackie Mortuary, do I? If I have the purely miraculous power to say to this man, be healed, I don't need a hospital. Theirs are not the gifts of the New Testament. There is a basic rule that you should keep in mind, that the kind of activity of the Holy Spirit is always bound up with the state of revelation. In a period where God is giving new revelation, there is always a miracle. There's always, because the giving of revelation itself is a miracle. Inspiration is a miracle. So there's always, of necessity, a miracle involved in the giving of new revelation. But where you have a completed revelation, where God is simply is not the best word, but to draw the contrast with what I've just said, where God is simply enabling us to use the revelation that is already completed, and we are not given the authority to add anything at all to it, then there is not the inclusion of miracle.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.